The fifth parak deals with when we have a bechor that has a mum, that has a defect, and if that happens at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it's not brought as a korban, but rather the kohen can shecht it immediately. At the time we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, that is going to be the same situation. The kohen is going to be able to shecht it immediately. Otherwise, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, he's going to have to wait. That animal is going to pasture until it has a mum. Mishnah Aleph is actually going to compare a situation that if we have non-bechor korbanos, and it has a mum before it's shechted, what is done with them, and how does that compare to a bechor, and we'll throw in the meiser behema as well. Mishnah Aleph says as follows, kol psulei hamukdashim nimkarim bitlis. When you have a psul hamukdashim, that is an animal that was designated to be as a korban, and it has a psul, which invalidates it from being brought as a korban, what you can do, once it's redeemed, it loses the vast majority of its kedusha, and what the effect of it is, we're going to sell it, and with the money, we're going to bring another korban, so you want to maximize the sale price. So even though it's somewhat disgraceful to an animal that had been designated as a korban, we're going to be able to sell it in the most effective way to monetize that animal. So that means it can be sold in the meat market. You're going to get the highest price that way. V'nishchatim bitlis, it can be shechted in the meat market. V'nishkalim bitlitra, and you can weigh it in the normal fashion with a litra weight. Those are all somewhat disgraceful, but the ultimate price, the ideal price, will be achieved, and that will benefit the Beis HaMikdash because it will be spent on buying a korban for the Beis HaMikdash. Chus mina bechor nemaisa, the exceptions to the rules here is that we're not going to be able to sell it in the same way when it comes to a bechor and a maisa. When it comes to the bechor that has a mum, it's going to have to be sold in a more private fashion, not in public in the meat market. And when you have a miser is talking about miser behema, that you look back on the past year and you take one out of every 10 that was animals that were born in the past year, that is not sold at all. And why do we treat the bechor and the miser different from the other psulei hamukdashim shanayas on the baalim? Because the hana, when there would be a sale of a bechor or the miser when it gets a mum, they go to the baalim, they go to the owners. Accordingly, we don't want to be lenient when it comes to disgracing in the sale of the animal, but we will when it comes to other psulei hamukdashim, because the benefit is going to the Beis HaMikdash, as it says in the Mishnah, psulei hamukdashim hanayas on the hektash, the other psulim, the benefit is in the Beis HaMikdash. Accordingly, we want to maximize the sale price. But when it comes to selling the bechor, although we have to sell it in a more private fashion, we cannot weigh it in the normal way, but we are permitted to weigh it in a somewhat of a different way. When it comes to selling that bechor in a private fashion, you are allowed to weigh it on a scale, not using the litra weights that we talked about before, but you can weigh it versus another piece of meat that is chulin that you know how much it weighs. So we're going to change the way we weigh it so it's not as disgraceful. Mishnah Dalet is going to discuss with us two halachas. The first one is, who can eat the meat of a blemished bechor? So we said that the bechor, when it has a blemish, it's owned by the kohen. Can he invite non-kohanim to his meal when he has a bechor that he shechted when it had a mum? Beis Shammai Omri, Beis Shammai Yosef the Biu, Beis San Apostol, Glo Yimana Yisrael Ima Kohen Ala Bechor. It has to be only kohanim that eats together. He is not allowed to have Yisrael join them together in eating that blemished bechor. Beis Hillel has his own pasuk. Beis Hillel Matirim says it's mutter not only to invite a Jew, Fafilu Nachri, you can invite a non-Jew as well. Second halacha in this regard, there is a halacha, a little bit background, there's a Nisr Doraisa to intentionally cause a bechor to have a blemish. That's also with other korbanos as well. The pasuk says in Vayikra Chaf Beis Chaf Aleph Kol Mum Lo Yebo, which means you can't bring, literally the pasuk says you can't bring a bechor as a korban if it has a blemish, but also the drasha is Lo Yehayebo, which means you cannot cause it, you cannot intentionally cause a bechor to have a wound as well. So what we're going to talk about for a number of halachas now is what that means and when and what happens if somebody does cause an intentional wound on a bechor. So this Mishnah continues as follows, bechor sh'ach sodam. What happens when you have a situation that you have a bechor and it has a physical problem, it has a disease, it has excess blood, and its life is in danger? And what you would have to do is you have to give it a cut, which could cause a mum in order to let some of that blood out. Is this still going to violate the Isser D'oraisa? Is this still going to be problematic because you're intentionally wounding that animal? Or is it because that we want to save its life, then it would be permitted? So the Mishnah says as follows, B'chor Sh'ach Sadam, we have this animal, he has excess blood. The first sheet is as follows, Afilu Hu Meis, even if it's going to die, Ein Makizin Lodam Divi Rabbi Yehuda, even if it's going to pass away because of it, we're not allowed to let its blood out. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is of the view that even though you could do the surgery in a place of the animal, that it would not cause a permanent mum, but we're concerned if we permit that, that the person may go and do that surgery from a place on the animal that would cause a permanent mum, and that's prohibited. So that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. In any circumstances, you're not allowed to do it. The Chachamim Omrim, second opinion, Akiz Ubivachli Yasebum. Chazal say, you're permitted to let the blood, you can cut the animal as long as you do it in a place that won't cause a permanent blemish. And the reason for that, Chachamim explained as follows, that if we don't permit the person to do the surgery in a place that will not cause a mum, they are going to be doing it anyway, and they will likely do it from an area that will cause a mum. So Chachamim or other view, you can permit it, you can do the surgery, but only in a place that doesn't cause a mum. The masaba mum hareza lo yishchat alaven. If you cause a mum, then you are not allowed to shecht that animal. It's not considered a mum that would permit the bechor to shecht that the kohen to shecht that bechor. He'd have to wait for a subsequent mum, and only then could he shecht that bechor. And the third opinion, Rabbi Shimon Omer Yaki, is no matter what, we're lenient. This is the most lenient view. We permit the person to do the surgery, and even if he causes a mum in the end of the day, Rabbi Shimon is of the view, as we see in Hilcha Shabbos, it's a davar shein mitzkaven, because it wasn't intentional, so it would be mutter. Mishnah Gimel discusses intentionally inflicted blemishes. So what's going to happen? It's an Isser D'oraisa to do that. So we're going to have a machlokas. What happens with that Bechor? Mishnah Gimel says as follows, Hatzorim Bozen HaBechor. If a Kohen comes and he slits the ear, so he invalidates that Bechor from being brought as a korban. He permits it to be shechted. Typically, it would permit, because now it's a baal mum, it has a blemish. However, because he did it intentionally, hareze lo yishachet olami, Steve Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says it's a knasa penalty, because he intentionally inflicted the blemish. He is never, ever going to be able to be permitted to shech that bechor. V'chachamim omrim, kishiya liva lelo mum acher yishchot alav. Chachamim disagrees. They say when there's a subsequent mum, with that mum right now, you can't do it, but when there's a subsequent mum, you would be permitted to shach that bechor. Rabbi Eliezer says, because you intentionally inflicted the view, the verse view, intentionally inflicted that blemish, even in with a subsequent mum that happened unintentionally, it's not going to be permitted. And now we're going to have two interesting maisim, two interesting occurrences that's going to teach us the halachas that when a mum is inflicted intentionally, we are not going to be able to shech that bechor, even though it has a mum. But because it was inflicted intentionally, chazal are going to be machir, you can't shech that animal. However, if it wasn't intentional, then that's going to permit that bechor to be shechted by the kohen. Maase, the first occurrence, Bisachar shel rechelim zaken, it was an old ram, usaro medudal, and because it was old, this is a bechor. And because it never had a mum, its hair was growing and growing. You're not allowed to shear it. And it looked old and disheveled, but there was nothing to do because it never had a mum. Ra'ahu kastor achad, there was a Roman officer that saw it. Amar, and he said to the Jew there, Mati vososeh, what is this animal? It's so old, what's happening with it? Amru lo bechoru, it's a bechor, firstborn male, ve'inu nishchat elalim ken ayobabum, and I'm not allowed to shecht it because it hasn't had a mum yet. Once it has a mum, I'm allowed to shecht it, but in the absence of a mum, I'm not allowed to do anything with it. So that Roman officer, Natal pigyon betzoran bo'ozno, he took a dagger, and what he did was he slit the ozen, he slit the ear, causing it to have a mum. So here, the Jew, the Kohen, is going to benefit from that, because now his animal is a baal mum. And they said, it's mutter for you to do it. You didn't ask the goy to do it. He did it of his own volition. Ra'ashi tiru. So this Roman officer, he saw that the chachamim, permitted this this bechor that he put the mum on v'halach v'tzaram bechoras acharim. He wanting to help the Jews now, so now he's doing it intentionally to help. He wants to intentionally benefit the Jews, so he went and found a bunch of bechorim, and he went and he did the same thing, and he gave them blemishes and chazal and this and that. V'asru, they prohibited it because now they see it when it's intentionally done to benefit the Jewish owners. That's when they put their foot down and say that's asr. Similar story. Pamachas ayutinokos mesachim besada. There were little kids that were playing in the field. V'kashu zanvas talaim zelaze. And they were playing with a bunch of lambs and they tied their tails together. It's an interesting game that they were playing out in the field. V'nisaka znavo shalachamem. And as those lambs were playing, one of the tails became separated. It came off. V'harehu bechor. And it happened to be that one was a bechor. U'bamasa lifnei chachamim v'tiru. And this maisa they paskin. It is mutter because it wasn't intentional that mum was caused. Accordingly, if it's unintentional, it is permitted for the kohen now to eat that. It's a bal mum, that's a bechor. Ra'u shitiru. So the kids saw that we did a good thing. We benefited the kohen here. So it's a good thing that we should continue doing. V'halchu v'kashus navos bechoras achirim. And they went and they tied a bunch of lambs together by the tails. And they took the bechorim. Let us matir these. Ba'asu now chachamim, in this instance, they came and they asked the psak and they said, absolutely not, because this is intentional. And when the mum is inflicted intentionally, chachamim or machmir ze'akal, this is the general principle. Kol shula data, when it is inflicted intentionally, then asur, that bechor, is not permitted to be shechted because of that mum. V'shalol adato, however, if the infliction of the mum is not intentional, then it's going to be mutter. It's going to be mutter for the kohen to then shech that bechor. Mishnah Dalet, haya bechor rodfo, continuing in the theme of inflicting intentional mumim into a bechor. How about if somebody is being chased by an animal that's a bechor? Then he has to act in self-defense. So the person who's being chased, he kicks, he does something, he takes a dagger out, and he causes that animal to have a mum. This is not what the person intended. He's not intending to benefit the kohen. Hareza yishchor alav, it is permitted. This is considered a baal mum. This is not considered intentional. It's considered unintentional, and the kohen would be permitted to shech that bechor. We typically would not have to show a bechor that has a mum if it was a mum that the animal was born with. For example, if an animal is born with five legs or one larger eye than the other, you don't have to go to a mumcha, an expert, to say that this is that it's permitted to eat this animal. However, when we have certain mumim that could have been inflicted intentionally, there is an obligation to go to an expert. An expert is somebody who was given permission either by the Nasi or the Sanhedrin Agadol to paskin what is considered a mum kavua that would invalidate a bechor from being a tamim. If we had a base of mikdash, we brought as a korban, or when we don't have a base of mikdash, it doesn't have to stay in the field any longer. It has now a mum. So kol amumim aruin lavo bidei adam. If we have a concern, we have a mum that it could have been caused intentionally by a person. This animal wasn't born with this mum. In this situation, we're going to have three opinions who we can rely on to tell us if it was inflicted intentionally or not. Number one is as follows: this is the Tanakama, roing Yisrael ne'emanim. If we have Yisraelim who are tending to those sheep, even though it's a kohen sheep, the employer is a kohen, it doesn't matter. We're going to believe the Yisraelim because they're not going to benefit greatly from lying one way or another. So even if they say it wasn't intentional, we are going to be relying. On the other hand, v'roin kohanim eino ne'emanim. If we have kohanim that are watching over the sheep are Yisrael's, and we have concern because they are kohanim, they may benefit from saying that this mum was not inflicted intentionally because they're going to desire to get that baal mum of the bechor from the owner is Yisrael. So because they have this conflict of interest, because they may benefit from giving the edus, from giving testimony that this mum was not intentionally inflicted, they are not going to be believed. So this is the first shita, the shita of the Tanakama. If it's Yisrael, if he's paskening, if he's giving edus, not paskening, if he's giving edus that it was not intentionally inflicted, he's going to be believed. But a kohen is not going to be, even if it's not his own. Even if it's about a bechor of a different kohen, we're concerned that they're going to round trip each other. I'll lie for you, you'll lie for me. So a kohen is not going to be neman, whether it's his or is not his. Second opinion, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, neman hu al shel chaveiro. A kohen is going to be believed to say that some other kohen's bechor, that it's mum, was not intentionally inflicted. However, when it comes to his own Bechor, he is not going to be believed to tell us that the wound, the mum, was not intentionally inflicted. So he'll be believed on somebody else's, but not on his own. Shita number three, Rabbi Meir, is going to sound the same as the Tanakama. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hechashud al Davar, Lo Danov, Lo Me'ido. Rabbi Meir is of the view that somebody who is Hashud, we suspect somebody, and a coin here has a conflict of interest, so we are not going to believe him. He's not going to be able to judge. He's not going to be able to give testimony. So what's the difference between opinion number one and opinion number three? Tanakama said you're not going to believe a Kohen, and Rabbi Meir is saying you're not going to believe a Kohen. So if we look at the language of number one, it says, Ro'in Kohanim Eina Ne'emanim. If we have a Kohen who is being a Ro'eh, if he is tending to the flock, then he's not Ne'eman. However, what happens if we have a Kohanim, two Kohanim, and they come from the outside, and they give Eidus on another Kohen's Bechor, that the mum was not intentionally inflicted. So here the Tanakhama would say, we're not concerned about gomlin. We're not considered that these Kohanim, one's going to lie for the other because we have two Kohanim, not one, and they're both coming from outside. They're not involved in the business. They're not tending to the sheep. Accordingly, it's two Kohanim are going to be believed on another Kohen's Bechor. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir, the third Shita, says if you are Chashud, if you're suspected on something, you can't judge, you can't give Eidu, so even two Kohanim we're going to disregard. We're not going to believe them. Mishnehei. Ne'eman HaKohen Lomar Heresi Bechor Ze Ubal Mumhu. One time that the Kohen is believed, we said in the prior Mishnah, he's not believed to say that the mum that my Bechor has was not intentionally inflicted, but what he is believed is to say that I had a mum, I went to a Mumchan expert, and he paskened for me that this is a Baal Mum. So that he'll be believed on to show that he went to an expert and the expert permitted, but obviously then he has to bring an aide with him to tell the expert that he needs a Yisrael to come and confirm that the Mum was not intentionally inflicted. But once he gets the expert, he gets a psak from the expert, then he's believed to say the expert paskened that this is a Baal Mum. Now we're going to get in a different context. We're going to talk about the Maiser Behema. The Maiser Behema, as we mentioned before, is every year you have to give of the new animals, kosher animals that were born, you give one out of every 10. So there's the same halacha when it comes to Maiser Behema that you're not permitted to intentionally inflict a blemish. So the Mishnah says, Hakol ne'emanim al mumei ha'maser. But when it comes to the maser, Maiser Behema, everyone is believed, even the owner of the animals would be believed to say that this is a mum that was not intentionally inflicted, and this animal is accordingly not subject to the lachas of Maiser Behema. And the Bartanur explains the reason. It's amigo, and which that means is before he designates any of the animals as Maiser Behema, before he counts one at every 10 and designates that as a korban, so they're all chulin, he would be permitted. It would be halachically permitted for him to cause blemishes on all of them. And accordingly, because he could have done that and did not do that, he's simply claiming that this animal, it has a mum, it's a Maiser Behema, but it has a mum, so he's permitted to eat it, he's permitted to shecht it himself, and he doesn't have to bring it as a korban. Now we're getting back to the context of a Bechor, and we're talking about, as we mentioned before, when you have a Bechor that has a mum that could have been done intentionally, you have to go to an expert, and the expert has to decide, is that a permanent blemish or not? So our question that we grapple with now in the Mishnah is, what happens if you have a Bechor that clearly has a blemish that invalidates it from being brought as a korban? Do you still have to go to an expert? Or in this situation, anyone knows that that's a severe blemish and you don't have to go to an expert anymore. So this is going to be subject to machlokas. Bechor shenis beis eino. If we have a Bechor and its eye was blinded, shenik to aryado, or its foreleg was cut off, shenish baraglo, or its hind leg was broken. In all these situations, the Tanakhama says, Hareza yishachet al pishlosha b'nei ha'knesset. You can find any three people in the shul, just like Hataras Nadarim, and you can shecht it as long as they decide that that's a permanent blemish, and obviously it is, because those are serious blemishes. That's all you need. You don't need a mumcha, you don't need the expert. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi amar afilu yesham esri mishlosha, even if you have a basin of a 23, but none of them are experts in the areas of b'chor, lo yishachet ela al pi mumcha. mumcha, you can't shecht it until you get the psak of the mumcha who says that is a mum kavua. Mishnah Vav is going to talk about two situations that somebody sold meat to somebody else and it turned out that that meat was prohibited to be eaten. The first of those two situations is going to be a bechor situation. Hashochet et habechor u'mecharo. Somebody shechted a bechor and he sold the meat, some of it, all of it, v'noda shelo her'ahu. And then it turned out, it became known that that prior owner of that meat, he never showed it to an expert, so the expert never decided that it was a mum kavua. And even if it was a mum kavua, there's a requirement that you show that meat to a mumcha in order to permit it. And if you didn't do that, that meat is asr bahana. Accordingly, he sold this meat. The purchaser didn't know that this was an asr hana because the bechor was never shown to an expert. Masha achlo achlo. What he ate, he already ate. And the seller has to return the money as a knas, as a penalty to the purchaser. So we're going to divide up. There was meat that was purchased, and we'll say half was eaten, half wasn't eaten. So the half that was eaten, still the seller has to refund the money to the purchaser, even though he ate it as a knas, as a penalty. Mashalo achlo, what wasn't eaten, because it's leftover meat of an Isra Hana, you're not allowed to do anything with that meat. You cover it. It has to be buried. It's Isra Hana. And because the sale was invalid for that second half of the meat that was being buried, the seller has to return the balance of the purchase price. So in the end of the day, the purchaser is getting all of his money back, half of it as a knas for the amount that he ate, and the other half because the sale was invalid, so even though he didn't eat the meat, that he still gets back the purchase price. V'chein. Now, second scenario. V'chein ha-shochet et ha-paru mechara. Somebody who sold a paru, a cow. He shechted a cow, and he sold it. V'noda shi treifa. And then it turned out that it's a treifa. A treifa you're not allowed to eat, but it's not an isr ba'ana. So that is how the second scenario differs from the first scenario of the bechor. Bechor is an isr ba'ana. If he didn't show it to an expert, here it's a treifa. Somebody purchased it, didn't know if it's a treifa. So we're going to divide up again what he ate and what he didn't eat. Masha achlu, what the purchaser ate. Achlu, he ate. What are you going to do? But nonetheless, as a knas, v'yachsi lehem es adamim, the seller has to return the purchase price, pro rata purchase price for what was eaten. U'masha lo achlo, the second half that hasn't been eaten yet, hen yachsiru lo es habasa, so the purchaser is going to return the meat to the seller, because it's not asr bana, you don't have to bury it here, v'yachsi lehem es adamim. And again, because it was an invalid sale, the seller is going to have to return the balance of the purchase price. So in the end of the day, the full purchase price is going to be returned to the purchaser. However, what happens is what's going to happen if the purchaser purchased it and he didn't know that it was a treifa, and instead of eating any of it, he went umecharo lenachrim, he sold it to nanju or etilula klavim, or he sold it to his dogs. And treif meat is a less of value, and meat that you feed to your dogs is a less of value than kosher food. So he paid a premium price, and now he used it for non-premium uses. That had he bought non-kosher meat, had he bought given dog food, he would have to pay a lot less. So in these situations, yishamulo d'mei ha-treifa, the seller is going to have to refund him, but not the entire purchase price, as if it was the premium kosher meat that was purchased, but he's only going to have to return him part of the purchase price, so he's going to only be left, he's going to have to return the delta, the excess of the premium price over what he would have paid for the treif meat. So in the end of the day, there's going to be a refund, but the refund is going to be the difference again between the cost of treif meat and the cost of premium kosher meat that was paid for.